Well, Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the privilege of receiving your word today, Lord. And Father, although we're few here, we know, Lord, that this message will go to other countries through our website. And all those people are here with us, and we celebrate the fact that they are, Lord. 69 nations have been to our website, and we want to thank you for that, for only you could do that, Lord. We thank you for this time together. Thank you for Terry being here today. Sorry that others are not here to celebrate with her, but we want to pray for them wherever they may be, that they be safe today in their travels. And thank you for this meal of the word that we received today, the seed of your precious word. And we thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for revelation, Lord. We've been talking for some time in John 15 based on talking about fruit, what it means to be fruitful, what the real fruit is, and the process of producing the fruit, and some of the negatives. We've been talking recently about the things that hinder our fruit from being produced, and we mentioned that fruit, the fruit that we produce, in John 15, he mentions that we bear much fruit, but he doesn't identify the fruit. But all the way through that chapter, he keeps talking about the commandment of love. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Several different places throughout 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, he talks about love. And specifically, when he talks about the vine and the branches, that he is the true vine and we are the branches, we discussed that. But the specific thing we've been looking at right now is fruit itself. What is the fruit? So many churches teach along the lines of salvation of souls, people that we get saved being our fruit, and that's not our fruit. That's the result of our fruit. The fruit that we produce is love, because we are born of God. God is love, and therefore we produce the fruit of love. We're going to go into that a little deeper today. So we're going to start off in 1 John. I mentioned John 15 to kind of link it together with where we've been before, our foundation scripture. But we're going to start today in 1 John in chapter 4. I'll read a little bit here, and then we'll talk about these and see what the Holy Spirit has to say. There's a lot of things we can talk about here that we won't be able to bring up this time, but in a later session. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. Now, this is the Amplified version, so it may read a little different in the other versions, but it's close. We are children of God. Now, that's present tense, isn't it? We are children of God. Whoever is learning to know more, to know God, progressively, I'm going to read that again because I skipped the word there. We are children of God. Whoever is learning to know God, progressively, to perceive, recognize, and understand God by observation and experience, and to get an even clearer knowledge of Him, listens to us. And he who is not of God does not listen or pay attention to us. By this we know and recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love springs from God. And he who loves his fellow men is begotten, born of God, and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of Him. So, we understand here by this that we are children of God. In order for us to understand the fruit of love that we bear, the fruit, like I said, is love that we bear. The salvation of people is the result of that fruit. They see our love. They see the fruit of love working in our life. We present love because we love our Father and because we're born of love. So that fruit is love. So since God is love, we are born of love. We are His children, born of love. It says here in verse 6, whoever is learning to know God progressively, to perceive, recognize, and understand God, by observation and experience. So how do we come to a place of knowing God? We know in order to understand our love, the fruit of love that we produce, we must understand who we are. This is why it's so important to understand who our Father is and who we are based on the Word of God.
Amen.
If we understand that, then we can understand the fruit that we produce and how to produce it, the process of bearing the fruit. So if we are born of God, truly born of God, we're going to want to know God. We're going to want to know Him progressively. And like it says here in 1 John 4:6, whoever is learning to know God, we learn to know Him, just like we do develop our own relationships with one another. We learn each other. We learn to know each other.
Amen.
To find out who we really are. And that is something that Pastor's been hammering on for years. Who we are in Christ. Who we are in Christ. We must know that, or we'll never understand our fruit. We'll never understand our Father. We'll never understand why we need to do these things.
Amen.
So we must understand who God is and that we are children of God. We are children of God. Verse 6 says, the very first thing there, whoever is learning to know God progressively. So it's a process. Just like we learn to know anything about anything, it's a process. To perceive, recognize, and understand God. To understand Him is to know Him or His ways.
Amen.
And it's progressive, like I said. And we do it, as it says here in the Amplified, by observation and experience. So we must experience this love in order to identify it, in order to understand Him, and in order to present the love to others.
Amen.
And to actually bear the fruit that we're talking about. So, in verse 7 there, beloved, let us love one another. For love springs from God. If God is love, then that's where it springs from. I like the way the Amplified puts that word springs. Every spring of water has a source, doesn't it?
Amen.
It says we have springs of living water within us. But we're not the source of that water,
that's right.
Are we? It comes from another source. It comes from the Holy Spirit that lives and abides within us. That living water and the rivers that flow forth from us, there's springs and rivers, the word talks about, of living water within us. But the source is God. We get born again, then those rivers are there, and they must flow. That's part of the fruit-bearing process as well. So, it springs from God, and he who loves his fellow men is begotten, born of God, and is coming progressively, that word progressively again, to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of Him. So our loving others is causing us to progressively come into a knowledge of Him. The amount of love we issue forth to others as our fruit is the amount of growth we have towards God. It's a flow, see, it flows. This love is in us by the Spirit. It flows out of us to others, and that produces love within us.
Amen.
That sap that's flowing forth through us to the fruit of love is actually producing more love within us as well as the fruit of love for others. So there is a benefit, just like that sap flowing through a branch is issuing life to the branch as well as producing the fruit that's on the branch. As in the Dead Sea, when the water stops flowing, no fruit from that. Life stops. The same way here. So how we treat others, what we do with others, is extremely important to the type of fruit and if we are fruitful. So here it says, our knowledge of God even is limited to our knowledge of others.
That's right.
To the way we treat others.
Yeah.
So it's important that we understand this. To understand the kind of fruit that we are to produce, we must understand who we are and the source of the fruit. Okay, let's drop down here. We already found out here now in these two that love springs from God, love is the fruit, and that we are children of God. Let's drop down to verse, and keep that in mind as we go here. let's see, we're going to go to 1 John 4:16 here, the same one. And we know, understand, recognize, and are conscious of by observation and experience. Notice observation and experience again. We observe the love of God for us. We observe His love flowing through others to us. And we experience that love because we see it. Okay? And we know, understand, recognize, and are conscious of by observation and by experience and believe, adhere to, put faith in, and rely on the love God cherishes for us. So we have a knowledge of it, right?
Amen.
God is love. Now, we mentioned there's a difference between loving and being love. There's only one entity in all of creation and all of existence, because God is not part of creation. He is creation itself. So there's only one that qualifies for that statement, and that's God Himself. There is no one else qualifies for that statement. God is the noun, love, as well as loving. So if we look at, now we've identified our source, okay? And he who dwells, continues in love, dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. What's that sound like? That sounds like being one, doesn't it? He who dwells and continues in love, dwells and continues in God. Why? Because God is love. If I'm dwelling in God, I'm dwelling in love. So what are people seeing when I walk through my life? If I'm dwelling in God, then I must be showing forth love. If I'm not showing love, then I'm not in God. Dwells and continues in love and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him, that we may be one. That we may be one. That was always on God's heart. I talked about that several months ago. In God's heart, it's always been God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and man.
And us.
That we may be one. Okay? Man fell. Now, in order to maintain that thought, now, Jesus prayed that they may be one, that the world may know. Bringing it right back to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and man. Thought never changed. It's just that man has to change now because they fell. And then it's got right back again to that we may be one. So here we see that John's bringing that up here. John had a knowledge of that. John had a quickening in his spirit that this was God's heart, that we may be one. Matter of fact, he wrote it in his own gospel, and he saw it and he heard when Jesus prayed that, and he presented it in John 17 when he wrote that.
Right.
This is the same John. So he had a knowledge of this in the heart of Jesus, in the heart of God. God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. So how can we know that we're walking with God? We know by our love walk. We know by what we do with other people and how we treat other people. Our love for them, even the unlovely, what do we do towards those people? That determines how close we are to God. Okay, and then verse 17, I love this one. In this union and communion with him. What union and communion? The one we just talked about. God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. In this union. When we're dwelling in communion with God, in that level, we know him. We're one together. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us. Where does it attain perfection? With us. He issues his perfect love through us to the world. So as we draw closer to him, the love itself becomes perfected in us, which is shown forth as a fruit. That we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. That last statement, you have to put all this together. 16, 17. put it together. What he's talking about is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and man, that we may be one. Now here he says, this last part knocks the ball out of the park. Because as he is, what's because mean? It's linked to what he just said, right? That's what the word because does. It links something. This happened because. So he's linking everything he just said here in this last statement. Because as he is, so are we in this world. So we can face our Father God in that last day, in that day of judgment, boldly. Because of this fact, that we have this union and communion with Him. It's already there. I don't see Him physically. I'm not in His physical presence, but I will be. Now I'm in His presence spiritually, but I will be physically in His presence, and so will you. When that day when comes that we are physically in His presence, that He's right there, I can touch Him because He's there. When that day comes, I can be bold about it because I've already established this relationship. I already have it, this union and communion. But it's based on my ability to love others. That draws me closer to Him so that I can face Him in that day. That is what John's saying. This is why this is so important, John is saying. He's hammering on this because this is your limit.
Right.
This is what limits you. He says, as He is. The word is present tense, right? Mm-hmm. If it's present tense, then that's right now. As He is, so, or the same way, like that. So are we in this world, or when's this world? Right now, right?
Yeah.
If the church understood this, if the church would talk about this last few words.
Yeah.
If they would teach this to the depths of what he's talking about, the church would be who it's supposed to be, and Jesus would come flying in here in a moment. Because that's what he's waiting for. He's waiting for that knowledge right there.
Amen.
That knowledge, as he is, so are we. Who's the we?
We.
We.
The body of Christ.
You mean us few right here? Right now, today?
Us worldwide.
Us worldwide. I'm a part of that worldwide, right? My mother and father was. There were people before, all the way back. They're part of that. All the way back to here. They're part of this people he's talking about here. The present day. This present day wasn't just that present day.
Right.
This passed away. No, it didn't. This is a present day present.
That's right.
And it continues to be present. It's an eternal present day. So as he is currently, as he was then, as he is now, and as he will be, so are we. Now, when I die, this will still be here.
Mm-hmm.
When you die, it will still be present because it's an unchanging statement.
That's right.
As he is, so are we. That we encompasses mankind. So are we in this world or in the now that whoever hears this, whoever reads this, whoever has knowledge of it for eternity, qualifies for that. Verse 18, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. I'm not going to finish that verse. That's the part, that's the A part that I wanted to hammer on. So here we've established who God is. We've established that as he is, so are we in this world. Because we are born of love himself, love is God, God is love, of love himself, when we do not walk in love, bearing the fruit of love, we are abnormal.
That's right.
Because as he is, so are we in this world. If I am not walking in love, every born-again Christian is responsible for this statement right here. It don't matter who you are or when you live, you're responsible for that statement right there.
Amen.
That is what we're being held in judgment for, right there. That is the fruit that we bear. As he is, so are we in this world. When they say, what would Jesus do? That's exactly what we're held responsible for.
Yep.
As he is, so are we. Now, anything other than that, is abnormal for the Christian.
Amen.
How many abnormal Christians are there in this world?
Count
when,
me.
When have you been abnormal? I've been abnormal. Every time you fly off at the handle at your brother or sister or at someone, every time you pass up an opportunity to love someone, you have been abnormal. I don't want to be abnormal, do you? Now, the world says you're abnormal doing it, loving those people. They call Jesus abnormal.
My message says our standing in the world is identical with Christ.
Exactly. If I can get that.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get that. See, it says I've been bought with a price. I've been engrafted into. I've been born again. I'm not that old dead man. Say, well, I have a right to say that. You do. You can choose to say that. You can choose to act like that. You can actually justify it in the world standards. But with this standard, you cannot.
That's right.
You cannot justify. We cannot justify our wrong actions based on the Word of God and who we are in Christ. We are supposed to be different. We're supposed to walk the way He walked. And that's what John's talking about here. As He is, right now, so are we. I can see him saying that. I can see the other churches reading that. What? They read that today. They pass right by that and don't see it. Many of us do that on purpose. Well, he did that to me. I can do that. I mean, I have a right, don't I? No, you really don't. You died to that right. So now your rights are far more, your responsibility and your rights are on much higher ground, yep. Much higher level than what you were walking in before. In your carnal nature, you can justify that. But what is that? That's death. It leads to death. And it hinders your fruit. See, so we need to be aware of these things. The important part we need to stress today, I think, is the fact that we are His children. The average Christian does not know that. They have a mental concept of it because it's religiously talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We are God's children. Hallelujah. And that's basically as far as it goes. Being His child carries with it responsibility. As He is, so are we in this world. Doesn't it? As He is, so are we. Well, how is He? How would He respond in that area? How did He walk? How is He walking? We need to ask that. When I come up against somebody being angry with me, self-centered with me, or whatever it may be, or I'm being that, what is my responsibility here based on that statement? Based on who I really am, how do I respond to my spouse when they're not being lovely to me or kind? How do I? Because they're doing that to me, do I have a right? Like I said, I can. But what's the result of it? Not only to that person, because they're not seeing the fruit of the Spirit now. They're not seeing anything that looks like God. They're seeing an attack from me. Why did I do that? Because I was self-centered. Yeah, but how's he ever going to know? How's she ever going to know if I don't say something? They'll know. They already know. They already know. The same Holy Spirit that revealed it to you revealed it to them. They know.
Amen.
They may not be accepting it. They'll come closer to walking in it if you walk in it. If you walk in love towards
yes.
that person, they cannot fight.
Yes.
They'll want to. They'll want to attack. I've always said it takes two to fight. If I'm not fighting with that person, then what happens to the argument? In order to continue, it has to have a response back. If I'm not responding back, what happened to the argument? Right? So it makes a difference. It makes a big difference. You cannot change a relationship and draw it closer with strife. You can with love. You can. That's the suffering that Jesus said that we have to suffer. When it says, but you have to do you do this, this, and this, but you have to walk in his sufferings. Whatever it costs, that suffering is whatever it costs you to walk the gospel. Whatever it costs you to walk in love, that's the suffering. Because it costs you, but eventually, what happened to that cost? It becomes a reward. Because now it's second nature for us.
Yeah.
Amen.
Not to respond back. Well, they'll walk all over me. No, they won't. They'll think they will. But who's rewarding you for what you're doing?
God.
And the reward's far beyond what anything you get out of that. Even if you won the argument, you think.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't really win it. It just become another argument later on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a bigger one. So, we need to be aware of these things. So, as he is, so are we in this world. We're responsible. So, I need to identify myself for who I am. If I'm to be a proper prayer warrior, if I'm to be show forth the proper fruit to others as I walk through my daily life, I have to have an idea of who he is, who my Father is, and who I am. And being a child of God, I'm saying what he said here, as he is, so am I. I got to make this personal, because as my Father is, so am I. See, I can't do anything about anybody but me. There is a we there, and we all need to understand the we. But the we is going to be better off if I understand who I am, because I'm walking in it and we're seeing my fruit. That's the fruit that we bear, this love thing. I cannot walk in my carnal nature and self-centered and walk in love at the same time. It doesn't work. Okay. How are we self-centered? Now, I'm not talking about what I think I'm self-centered.
We're always
self-centered. I'm talking about God's idea of being self-centered. So, self-centered is totally selfish, self-centered. My whole world flows around what happens to me, what they did to me, what I did to them, what I can do, what I accomplish, who I am, what all this stuff.
What I want.
What I want. My whole world is surrounded by what I. But when you're walking in love, it's we.
Mm-hmm. Or you.
Or you. That's how you produce in this thing. That's how you gain. And now your reward comes from God, not from man. And he will place people just like you around you.
Yep.
So you'll not be by yourself. You will not be. But let's talk a little bit. We've got several scriptures here on being children of God. Because we need to have that understanding, and the church doesn't. They always think I'm being remodeled. I'm the same person. And I wasn't remodeled. I was born again.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm a different person. That old man passed away. Right? The dead man has to have new life come in.
Mm-hmm.
He's separated from God. Now he comes back. What has to happen when you come back to God? You have to become like him, because as he is, so are we. The reason man fell is because man separated. No connection anymore.
Right.
No union and communion. What happened when God came into the place of man or sin in the Old Testament? What happened before the cross? Wherever God came into his presence, unless he himself allowed something to happen or covered that person in some way with a blood covenant, it destroyed him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the priest had to go in there once a year by himself with nobody with him, with certain conditions. He had to be clean himself in order to go in there. But now what do we have?
Bring the blood.
He had to bring the blood. And he brought all the sins of Israel there and put them on the mercy seat, not the judgment seat. And then God, then they sent that goat off, and another good year. But he just atoned. He didn't pay for it. It just said, okay, I'll take this interest payment on your sin for a little while. Because we're working our way towards the cross. They didn't know that, but that's what God saw. We're working our way towards the cross. When the cross happens, there's no more atonement. Now there's
remission.
It's destroyed. So in order for man to come back into communion with God, we have to be changed.
Yep.
We have to be new. We can't come in the same way we did before. There's no way to get to him. See? That's why we're born again. And we have to have that concept in us, in our knowledge of him, and as we walk in Christians and as we read this Bible and present the gospel, that is the gospel. The day you got born again, you're a new creation. From that point on, your sin just needs to have to be washed, cleansed by the washing of the water by the Word. But when I confess my sins, He washes and cleanses me, and I'm just like I was before, brand new. I'm walking in a dirty world, so I become dirty. So, but I am a new creation. So, in order to understand who we are and to produce this fruit properly, we need to understand that we are children of God. So let's look at 1 John 3 while we got time. I'm just going to cover these real quickly to show. I like to show scriptures based on what I say. I don't like to just say something. It's not my idea, it's the Word's idea. Because I can guarantee you, people hearing a message like this will fight that. Because it's not their religious tradition. We are servants, not children. That's not what the Word says. The Word says we are no longer servants,
right?
But now we are children of God.
Okay. Household of God.
We are born of God. We're the household of God. We're His seed. 1 John 5:3-2. So what? An incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. What does that mean? So we are?
We really are.
We really are. The reason that the world does not know and recognize and acknowledge us is that it does not know, recognize, and acknowledge Him. Beloved, we are, even here and now, God's children. When?
Now.
Even here and now. I am a child of God. Right now. Can you get anything other than that out of that? I don't know how you can read that and get anything else other than that out of it. I went to other translations. It's the same way. We are the children of God. Now let's look at 1 John 5:1. I'm going to get several scriptures here. Everyone who? Everyone who believes. Now that's the condition. Adheres to, trusts, relies on the fact that Jesus is the Christ. I know He's the Christ.
Amen.
I know Messiah. He's the Messiah. I believe that. I adhere to it. I trust in that. Is. When's is?
Right now.
A born-again child of God. Are you a born-again child of God? You are if you believe that.
Yes, amen.
I'm a born-again child of God, not a servant. I'm His son. You're His daughter. Child of God. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of Him, His offspring. Who's that? Jesus? No.
Jesus,
well,
us.
Yeah. But who is that, Mother? It's everyone born again.
Amen.
Every church, every denomination, everyone that declares Jesus Christ the Lord of their life, born again child of God,
amen,
they are my brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And it says here that everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of Him, His offspring. So we are commanded right there to love our brothers and sisters. Why? We got the same Father. There's only one.
Amen.
So I'm a child of God. They are a child of God. As He is, so am I in this world. As He is, so are they in this world.
Yep.
Romans 8:14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. What are they? Sons of God. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more into bondage to fear. In other words, He didn't take you from this sin-filled death, put you back into slavery to Him now.
Right.
You didn't change one form of slavery for another form of slavery, a different taskmaster, the devil, the world, and God. You didn't exchange taskmasters. He didn't put you back into bondage once more. He doesn't want you afraid of Him. He wants you to love Him with reverence.
Amen.
If you go to the dictionary when it says fear God, that is one of the definitions for fear, reverence. If you go to any dictionary, you'll see the word reverence listed as part of the definitions of fear. But the fear He's talking about here is reverence when it comes to the Father. We don't fear Him as far as fear, if I don't do this, if I don't white knuckle myself through, I'm going to hell. Then you don't know who you are in Christ.
Amen.
You don't know him. Okay? Now, if you're a servant and a slave, that is a possibility. Okay? But you have, verse 15 again, but you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship. Who's that? That's the Holy Spirit. He
Amen.
Produces this sonship. In the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father, Father.
Hallelujah.
We love our Father. And if we are His children, then we are His heirs also.
Amen.
Who receives the inheritance from the Father?
Children.
The heirs do. And we are His heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him. Only we must share His suffering if we are to share His glory.
Amen.
I said a while ago what that suffering was. That suffering is anything that it cost you to walk this gospel out. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. We've just got a couple more here. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. How do we become sons of God? Through faith. Through faith in what? Through faith in God, faith in His Word, and trusting Him. Faith. Through faith, we are sons of God.
Amen.
And Galatians 4, 7. Galatians 4, 4. I'm sorry. 2, 7. But when the proper time had fully come, God sent His Son. In other words, there had to be a process of time before God could send His Son.
Yes.
Things had to be perfectly in order for Him to come at a certain time. So the process of time had to take place, and then God sent His Son. Born of a woman, born subject to the regulations of the law. So Jesus was born under the law to purchase the freedom of, to ransom, to redeem, to atone for those who were subject to the law. Well, that's everyone that was born, after Adam. That we might be adopted and have sonship conferred upon us and be recognized as God's sons. And because you really are His sons, how much stronger can you get than that? And because you really are His sons, God has sent the Holy Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So that's a done deal.
Amen.
Therefore, you are no longer a slave, bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then it follows that you are an heir by the aid of God through Christ.
Amen.
Man, look at us. We are heirs of God.
Yep.
Now, I don't have a wealthy family by any means. I don't even have any family left on my side. Just me, that I know of.
Joint heirs with Jesus.
He's my father. He's my God. He's my brother.
Yep.
God, my father. I'm an heir. I still have an inheritance far beyond anything man could bring to me. I have an heir. So do you. You're His child. It's yes. time we start walking like heirs of God. Start living Amen. Our lives of heirs of love. Well, I just can't love that person. Yes, you can. The Word says you can. First of all, you are a love creation. You know, I watched a movie here some time back, and there was people being so mean and angry to each other. And I just thought, you know, every one of those people, not just in that movie, but every single person that's ever been born, ever lived, or ever will, is born by love Himself.
Yes.
And it's God's idea that that person walk His love and be one with Him. No matter how mean and angry and how demonic they are in their behavior, He's a creation of love. He has the possibility of love. He is a love being because He's a man. Man is a love being. He's born of God. He's created by God in His own image.
Yes.
So if man was created in God's image, then he's created in the image of love. And that's what He says, as He is, so are we in this world. if as he is, so are we, then I'm a love being. That's who I am. I'm a creature born of love, so I must be a love creature.
Yes.
And if I can get that here, it's so much easier to walk it. Because I don't want to be abnormal. I want to be normal. A person walking in love is normal. Not in the world's way of looking at it, but in God's way.
Yep.
Because we're fitting into that original creation mold that he made us in, himself. Father, we thank you for this word today. We thank you, Lord, for revelation. We thank you for the services that lie ahead and those that will be here for the service. I know there's a lot of people traveling and gone, and many people are cooking and all the other good stuff because of the meal, which we bless the meal in our future and have an elders meeting later. We thank you for the revelation that will come forth there and direction. Bless our pastor, Father. We're so thankful that Terry was with us today. Thank you, Father, for blessing her and her family and guiding her in the steps of her path. I know you will do, because your word promises you will.
Amen.
Thank you for teaching us who we are in Christ and causing us to have such an understanding of it that we actually walk it. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.